Tonight, turn in the book of Exodus in the 12th chapter. You see, in the time of the children of Israel's captivity, God's hand began to move. And as you read through the 6th chapter all the way through the 12th chapter, there was 10 different occasions that God began to work on Pharaoh to try to cause him to repent. And hallelujah, I'll go through the list real quick. As we know, we have the water to blood as being the first plague. And we have the frogs as being the second plague. And we have the lice as being the third. Can I get an amen from some Bible readers in here tonight? And for the fourth plague, we have the flies, the fifth. At this point, the livestock probably couldn't handle anymore. But anyway, the word was spoke over them and they deceased. Then the next plague that came along was the boils, followed by the thunder and hail. Then it was followed by locusts and darkness, and finally closed up with the death of the firstborn. And hallelujah, I want to go ahead and read the scripture that goes along with some of this. In the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers." A lamb, say a lamb. A lamb for an house. "And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls." Hallelujah. I'm going to have to stop right there for a minute. When I think about what it means to take the blood of the lamb on the behalf of somebody else, that opens up my heart to understand that people have to stand in the gap for those that need the blood of the lamb. Help me tonight. We've got to learn to be a good neighbor and a good friend and to be able to stand in the gap for somebody that needs the blood of the lamb. Are you going to help me preach tonight? When it comes right down to it, church, we can come in here night in and night out, same old people, and miss the true meaning of why we're even here. It's not just to gather to say hello. It's not just to gather, just to come together and see one another. But there is a far greater divine purpose that by the blood of the Lamb that's in you, that you stand in the gap for somebody that needs it. "Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." Go ahead and read on down and verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord." What a very strong word of the Lord that you begin to hear there in that passage. And this began to be the conclusion of the afflictions that had came upon Pharaoh. And hallelujah, I just want to open up some of this to us tonight. When you realize some of the things that Pharaoh and his people were going through, they loved to worship the Nile River. They loved to worship the Nile River as a god. And the very first thing that God began to do in that moment was change the water to blood. Hallelujah. And I think about that, and then you also read about how they began to worship the sun. And how one of the things that God began to bring in affliction was darkness to that. But there was another. They were worshiping cattle, idols, and anything other than God in that time. And God, as symbolism to what they worshiped, began to destroy the very livestock that they owned. Many times, church, that we feel the presence of the Lord and have an opportunity to repent, but end up only losing what we were holding dear in that time. I don't know where you came from to get here, and I don't know what it is that you're doing in your life, but if we do not begin to turn and repent our lives to God when we're in trouble, hallelujah, God will begin to stir our lives by taking down the things that we hold up so high. And I know that it took 10 times even for somebody of great stature to be able to turn his heart and let the people of God go. But you've got to remember something. You may not have a 7th or 8th or 9th or 10th time, but when God begins to deal with your heart, it's time to turn and it's time to repent and it's time to make it right. You see, Pharaoh was their captor. He was the captor. And he wasn't interested in getting to know anybody that he had captive. He didn't care where you came from before you got there. When you were within the confines of that captivity, you were bound. You were held with something. You were held down, not able to go out and do as you would please. Or in other words, to be free. And there's so many people in life right now that are walking with their own power, but yet inside are still held captive by something. Hallelujah. But I want you to know tonight that as the Spirit of God doth bear witness and how it works in you, there will come a time when God will knock on your heart and it'll be a chance to lay off that which God is trying to consume in your life. Without it, we'll still be bound. Without it, we'll still be held captive. My heart doth rejoice tonight, because God didn't leave them in captivity. He didn't leave them in bondage. And as we read on, church, I want you to get this. Exodus 12:29. Same chapter, moving on to verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. He didn't just say you can go. He said, get up away from my people. There began to be a fear in the heart of Pharaoh. Something that God did finally struck deep to his heart. And hallelujah, there may be things tonight, church, that you're holding near and dear. But if it's greater than God, the day's going to come. You may be 20 years old in here, or you may be 75 years old in here, but the day's going to come when God's going to strike something down in your heart, and you're going to begin to know that something has got to leave your life, that change has to begin to come in order to be able to be free from captivity. Lord God, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I got to be able to preach it tonight. Oh, Satan is our captive in this modern day, as Pharaoh was to them. Hallelujah. And the bondage that we face today is sin. But bless God, through Jesus Christ and the lamb that he was for us and the sacrifice that he paid, we walk out free. We walk out free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I get somebody to say hallelujah? We're free tonight. We're no longer bound to sin. But we're set apart. God sent this word because he's wanting you to evaluate this time of repentance. Every plague that was given was not given to just suffer. But Pharaoh had to come to a decision. And he had to decide whether he was going to turn loose or whether he was going to hang on. He wasn't interested in who they were. He was interested in the income that was coming out of what he was holding. And you may have a present interest in sin right now. And I walked those roads with you. I didn't always preach. I didn't always get up in front of a crowd. And I certainly don't take the persecution without remembering where I came from. I know and understand how hard it feels to have the grip of sin make us feel so bound. And I understand how hard that it is when God begins to put repentance in us to really make up our mind and to say, God, I'm ready to let go. I'm grieved tonight, and I can't say this any other way, but what the Lord's leading, there's some of us that need this tonight. not 2 days from now and not a week from now. And God's been dealing with your heart about letting some things go. And God wanted me to speak this word to you tonight, that as it was in the Old Testament and as it is to the New Testament, there was a way out for them and there's a way out for you. There's a way out of this sin. You don't have to dwell in your problems any longer, but God can begin to be your strength and God can begin to be your freedom from what you're dealing with. Oh, my heart has been grieved with a saving spirit. Oh, I meditated all the day long and said, God, when are we going to let go and start letting you have your way freely? And God, when are we going to worship like we really mean it? And God spoke to me that just as Pharaoh's heart became hardened, oftentimes many of us harden our hearts and are not able to understand and see what's going on. You may see it as destruction for you, but God's trying to move you out of the bondage that you're in right now. Me as a minister, I understand and know this word, but know this, put it simply tonight. If you are in trouble and are not putting your hope in Christ, then you are without hope. For by that is the only way that we shall be saved. That's the only way that we're going to survive. It's the only way that we're going to succeed in this life.
Satan was my captor. Anybody with me right now? Satan was my captor. And sin was my shackles. But by the blood of the Lamb, he had to turn loose. He had to let go. There was no more hold that sin could have. Hallelujah. When God brought the sacrifice of the Lamb, there was no more hold that Pharaoh could have on those people. Hallelujah. I believe it with all my heart that back then even a Pharaoh could understand conviction and he knew what it meant to let go. Then, hallelujah, there is no excuse for anybody that needs salvation today.
See, we're blind to sin and only feel the effects of sin until we can begin to discern what sin is. You gain the understanding of knowing how to battle sin when you're saved. So if you've said before, I've got to make things right before I can get saved, then you're getting it backwards. There's nothing that you have to fix other than the condition of your heart. Because when you step out and allow God to save your soul, everything else around you will begin to change. I know when I first got saved, one of the things that was on my heart the most was, God, what am I going to say to my friends? And what am I going to tell them about how that my life is different? And I realized that when God changed me and I rose up, that it didn't matter. It didn't matter. Let me tell you something. When it comes to friends and life, it won't matter. When it comes to the last call that God gives you, we have the privilege of reading the word and seeing when it was somebody's last call. But tonight, we don't have the promise of tomorrow, nor do we have the understanding to know when God is going to call for us. I see people go out in accidents, whether they're 80 or whether they're 16. You better be thankful that God brought you here tonight so that you'd have a chance to make it right. After Pharaoh turned those people loose, there was an amount of time that went by. But then they begin to hear and understand about the Messiah. And the book of Isaiah begins to say, but he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Death is certain, church, and we're all going to have to face it one day. But if God has already made the way for you to be free, why would you wait another day to know that you are? Why would we wait another minute to know that we know that all is well?
Why would we hold back another service and allow the freedom of the Spirit to pass us by? I have the answer for those questions tonight. When the grip of sin is greater than your desire to serve God, don't expect anything other than a bad outcome or worry or fear. See, God even worked in the fear of them. Can you imagine being in a thunder and a hailstorm? No doubt that they were afraid. And hallelujah, he even brought up boils upon those people in that time as a representation of the affliction to our flesh. Or in other words, we have a battle to fight right here and now. Whether anybody helps me preach or not, you've still got a battle to fight when you get out of here. And I'm going to remind you that without God, it's going to be a whole lot harder than it would be if you just come in ready to serve Him, ready to praise Him, and not worrying about who's around you. Lord God, I'm not worried. I'm not worried about you tonight. I'm worried about somebody's soul that's going out without hope. I'm worried about your heart that you're able to be saved. He made a way for all of us. Some of us were saved as kids. Some of us were saved as teenagers. Some of us were saved in the middle of our life. And some of us were saved on our deathbed. Some people made it in by calling out right on the brink of death. Other people called out amongst the midst of their family. I've seen it many ways in many forms. But you know what blesses me the most? When you finally can see somebody let go. When you can finally see somebody turn loose of the bondage, and when their eyes lift up and they realize that they're free from the grip of sin. I lift my eyes up tonight. Seeing a far greater hope than sin. When I see Campbell County, I don't see how we can't save it, but I see the God that can save it. Hallelujah. When I see a hospital, I don't see those that are dying, but I see an opportunity for God to be able to heal them. When I look at you tonight, I don't see anybody that's defeated, but I see the dawn of a new day. I see the breaking of the day for some of us that's been in darkness. God's beginning to open up and turn on the lights. Hallelujah. Get a hold of the hope of the promise of the Jesus Christ that came as a lamb and broke your shackles, that you're free and not in bondage to no man or any sin. It may not be this way for everybody, but I had a friend that I held very dear in my teenage years. We grew up, we played music together, we taught each other back and forth, did everything together. And I valued his opinion highly. But neither of us at the time were realizing what the grip of sin was doing to us. Young people in here tonight, this is for you. This word right here and now. So focus with me just for a minute. There may be people around you that, although we value their opinion highly, and they may make us feel good about ourselves, you have to begin to realize the grip of sin and how it can influence you to do things that you shouldn't do. To be places that you shouldn't be. To even say things that you shouldn't say. If there's anybody, hallelujah, you hear this. There's anybody that influences your walk with God and you have to hear them cuss this and cuss that. And they're your friend. Hallelujah, I suggest that you reevaluate what's important to you. Because if the grip of sin and evil spirits beginning to influence your life is greater than what you have for God, I wouldn't expect a single thing to work right. And I wouldn't expect a single door to open. But I'd be praying for change so that I'll be able to live and be free. I still love the person to this day, and my heart goes out for them, and I pray for them often. But I know that what we had was not real friendship. You see, while we still have a veil on our eyes, we don't truly see how powerful the influence is. But when God begins to try to break ties on things that we need to let go of, and it was like I was speaking here the other night, you may have no friends in high school for a season, but I'd rather have God. And you may be in college and looking for somebody to sit down or study with or study buddy or study something. But listen, if it's going to be a bad influence to you, don't expect your walk to be flowers and roses and smelling the green grass. Because we have to begin to realize what kind of captivity that not only we're in and need change of, but the sort of kind that we're volunteering to put ourselves under. Yeah, that's right. I'm coming for you tonight. Volunteer captivity is not the same as being in true bondage. Allowing yourself to be in a continual fit about how things don't work for you and how things aren't changing for you is bondage that you're putting on yourself. And God sent a word for you too and wanted to remind you that you're free, and nothing will hold you in bondage when you trust in the anointing.
Oh, nobody wanted that, but God sent it anyway. Oh, God sent manna, and they let it rot on the ground, didn't pick it up because there was so much. Hallelujah. We pray for the word to come. Hallelujah. When we go through dry places and we pray for the word, and we'll pray, God, send a minister or God, send a singer that'll stir me. And we hear the word of God that's right in front of us, the very key to our shackle. And because it feels like it's too hard to let go of how we feel, we won't let go and end up suffering more.
I praise Him tonight that I see that dawn of a new day. And I praise Him tonight that God's teaching me some lessons, even about ministry or how you're really going to do a work. Everybody wants to do something, but they don't want to put in anything. Everybody wants a blessing, but we oftentimes will fail to offer. Hear this. You have to offer something. When God begins to deal with your heart, and I know this is going to sound strange for some of you, but God dealt with me about smoking without anybody having to heckle me, without anybody ever having to say a word to me. And I'm not here to preach down on you, but I want to remind you that if God shows you things that need to go, that it's time to drop them. We were praying at Sister Faith one night, and they were praying at the time, and God just put it right in my spirit right then. And I thought, oh, Lord, I've heard all the stories of how it's been so hard for people to lay this down. And I've heard that people picked it up, put it down, picked it up, put it down, and how hard that it was. But He spoke to me and said, if you'll trust me, you'll be free. And I remember laying him on the ground that night, and I knelt before him, and I said, God, I know by your word I'm in no bondage to anything. And I got up delivered, and I've not had a single one since. I didn't get to come to church and somebody tell me I needed to, but it was just me seeking God for what needed to change. And if you're looking for that answer to how am I going to get closer to you, God, you've got to begin to seek Him for what's holding you in bondage. Because I'm telling you, I'll keep on preaching it until God turns it loose from my spirit. But until we're able to praise God freely and without any fear of anybody or anything, or whether we're not able to get up and give God praise for the minister or give God praise for the singer, if we're not able to be free in the altar, if we're not able to be free in speaking the prayer language, hallelujah, church, we're held down to something, and God's doing a work to try to change it. How's God doing the work? By increasing the number of songs? No. No. I hope not, or we never get to preaching because we sing so much. Is it going to be by adding 25 more minutes to the message? I know that you know that on everybody's behalf, I hope Jared doesn't preach another hour. So it's not in the length of preaching, as we know. And it's not in how many songs that we're going to hear. But guys, it's such a personal thing to look inside our heart and say, God, what is it that keeps me from praising you openly? There's some people in here tonight, I know, I feel this with all my spirit. Four or five of you have never really let out the praise that God has put in you. Maybe more, but I feel that right now. There's some of you that know that there's a praise that you've not truly let go of, that God's put it in there, but it's not ever left your lips in the way that He's tried to move. And God's coming for you tonight and saying, I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you to a greater praise. I'm drawing you. I'm drawing you to a greater praise. There's some of you tonight that though you sing wonderfully, that God wants to move in your music and move in your song, and it may not even sound better than what you are right now, but if somebody gets a hold of the Spirit of God, then you know you're making progress. And you know that when you let go of something, that God can pour something into you. To be holy is not what you wear. To be holy is not how tall that you walk when you know that you've walked right. To be holy is to be separate. Say, to be separate. To be separate. To be separate from what it is that would keep you from feeling the presence of God. We oftentimes read that at face value, and yes, the Word of God addresses dressing. It says dress modestly. So we're not debating whether holiness is your garments or whether it's your walk. We're defining what holy is, and it's to be separate. They would have never came out of bondage unless they took the first step. Pharaoh told them they could go, but how many of them were used to getting the pay that they did or getting fed the way that Pharaoh would begin to feed them? And some of us are not ready and would be uncomfortable with stepping out into a place that we're not ready for, or feel like that we need a little more to go the next step. But God at the time had sent a leader that had the faith to believe. And though he was slow of speech, he was bold enough and faithful enough to believe the burning bush experience that he began to have. And hallelujah, it was enough to carry him not only through captivity and through 10 plagues, but to be able to speak to them in the wilderness when they were already out and had to have a word to remind them of how good that God is. So if you're in the wilderness and you're weary, God already brought you out, but you're not satisfied. You've got to know that you know that God sent a word for you here too, that he is good. He was good then, he's good now, and he's going to be good ahead of you. You've got to go across the river. And how are you ever going to get across something you couldn't make it on unless God parts the sea and God moves the sin that's in your life? There's no other way. If God had not sent his wrath and judgment upon Pharaoh, they would have never walked out. If God had never parted the sea, they would have never walked on dry ground. I wish I had a shield because it's about to go down in here. If you're trying to step out and do anything for God and you're not allowing him to do it through you, you'll surely fall in that same river like Pharaoh did. You'll fall flat on your face, be the most discouraged that you could ever be. Be dwelling on people's flesh. Well, why didn't they give me credit? Or why didn't they stand up and praise the Lord when I was singing? Or why didn't they go ahead and shake my hand and tell me how good that I did or wonderful that I did? And we dwell in the wrong things. But you got to begin to realize that let me just tell you by experience. When you let God move on you, you won't care who's with you because you know that God's with you. Somebody needed that word right there. We can't do a thing without God. It's hard to listen to anything anymore because so many people are still in bondage and fear. But there's still a few out there, church, that are singing in the fullness of the anointing. There's still a few churches out there, even more than this one, that still believe in the full power of God. And let me tell you something. Those are the places where people that have been judged all their life are finally finding refuge. Those are the places that the drunks can come. Why is that? Because you finally become separate in a city on a hill where people can see the light of day and find some hope. Oh, if we want to go back to just reading a few verses and talking for 5 minutes, we can do that. Or do you really want to see people saved? Do you really want to see your loved ones healed? Do you really want to hear the word that God sent for everybody tonight? Stand up with me right now. I think you're going to have to receive this one standing up. Hallelujah. I'm closing. I just want to leave this with you tonight. Hallelujah. If you want to be closer, or if you want to see somebody saved, or if you want a greater ministry, if you ever want to preach the word of God with boldness, if you ever want to get out of the wilderness, I feel like preaching now. If you ever want to get through the river, if you ever want to get free from your bondage, you have got to let it go. You have got to let it go. If you want to be saved, you've got to let it go. I'm going to read a scripture with you in the first book of Peter, first chapter. As they come, we'll read a few verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Can you say amen? Preserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor. Read these last couple parts. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Church, as they sing and as we pray, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. Today is your day of salvation. You don't have to wait another day to feel like that it's time to let go. God sent that word for you. So what do I do now? You take the first step. You step out of the pew and you openly show that, God, I'm ready to be saved. God's lightening your feet even this night, because you may not have another opportunity to make it right. Listen, things that you could earn will not save your life. And even if you earned a lot and you gave it back to a church, this is not going to save your life. And you can say that you've done right for people, you've done charitable things, and you've done all that you know to do to help people, but that's not going to save your life. But it's in knowing and believing and calling out on Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And today is your day. Do you believe that, church? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you that you pray that let it go prayer.